covenant people, delight in and serve each other. We join this chapter where King Saul is just so jealous of David that he's out of control with anger. If you recall, Samuel had anointed David to be king in place of Saul. And Saul, I don't think at that point Saul knew that that had happened. But some demonic spirit in him hated David. David was in the palace and he used to play his harp and the instruments to calm Saul down. Saul was always angry and he used to send for David to play music to calm him down. Saul was jealous, as I said, of David. Two of Saul's children had become loyal to David, and his whole kingdom viewed David as a hero because he had defeated Goliath and turned the battle in the favour of God's children. And he was very, very popular, and Saul became more and more jealous the more popular David became. And Saul was determined to destroy David, and that was his biggest mistake. And just let me give you a bit of advice here. When you decide that you are not going to forgive somebody, that you are going to stay and with an attitude of revenge, then you're on the road to self-destruction. The person you are hating or said you will not forgive, they go out scot-free. You're on self-destruct. You've pressed the button and it comes within and it comes back on you and destroys you. It eats away at you and it will never let go until it has brought about destruction. So please be advised here. Never, never refuse to forgive. Jesus said, forgive others as I have forgiven you. And I can never hold anything against people because I know that God loves me and forgave me absolutely everything. And whether I understand or whether it's something that is beyond my ability to forgive, I have to make the decision to say, God, I want to do this, but I'm finding it really hard because what they did was something awful. But you have forgiven them. And I want to do the same because I don't want to lock myself up and I don't want to self-destruct. And so ask God to give you his ability to do what you find you cannot do. And he will do that, I promise you, because it's his desire that you forgive and that you love all men. Realizing now that his son Jonathan would not be his successor, but rather this young shepherd boy, David, Saul gave orders to kill David. And you'll find that, I'm not turning to it tonight, but you'll find it if you want to make a note in 1 Samuel 19 and verse 1. But it's too late because Jonathan has already relinquished his right to the throne. Jonathan knows that he is not going to be his father's successor. Jonathan was in covenant with David and he knew that David was God's anointed and that he would be the next king of Israel. And Jonathan had no problem with that. He loved David as he loved his own soul. And he had made a decision that he was not going to be jealous like his father. He was going to accept what God had ordained and he was going to get behind David. He was going to support David and he was going to be in covenant with him. He would serve David as David had served Saul. And that was his desire. And he had come also to the realization that the blood, natural blood flowing through our veins is not as strong as the blood of the covenant. Covenant blood is stronger than flesh and blood, our natural flesh and blood. And why? Because we too have been purchased by the covenant blood of Jesus. And he was the great messianic lamb, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world. And he was our sacrificial lamb. He died that we could live. And if he hadn't died, where would we be? Lost, floundering. Our lives would be a mess. We would have no anchor to our souls. We would have no voice saying to us, this is the way, walk in it. And we would not know that tremendous love. And every one of us needs to know that love, because it roots us and grounds us in Christ Jesus. Jonathan was one with purpose, in purpose with David. And I thank God that we are one in purpose as the body of Christ with Jesus Christ, because we have been born again. We've been born by the blood covenant into the family of God, into God's family. And I think I'm more privileged to be a child of God than to be a child of my natural parents. I love my natural parents. I love my natural family. I love Andrew's family. But I count it more of a privilege and more of a blessing to belong in God's family. That is the most important possession that I have, to be a child of God. And you know, in the natural, however privileged or disadvantaged we may feel we have been by our natural family, let me tell you this, your natural heritage is irrelevant. When you come to Christ, you are a new creation, a brand new man. We have just begun living. We've just begun to get to know Father God. And I want to assure you now, Father has tremendous plans for you. And your natural heritage does not matter. The line that you came from does not matter. Any disadvantage you feel you've been born with is irrelevant, because God has a great future for you. We are fathered by God, and he has chosen us to be part of his family. I think that it puts me out to grasp that God chose me. And he said, before he made the world, before the foundation of the world, he said, Grace, I've chosen you, I want you, and you're going to come to me at the appointed time. He appointed the time I would be born. He appointed the family I would live in. He appointed the time that I would come to Jesus. And he revealed himself to me. And that was the greatest, greatest day ever. I belong to Jesus. He chose me. We're fathered by God. And he has chosen us to be part of a higher purpose in his family. We're co-heirs with Christ, destined to fulfill a role in establishing his kingdom in the hearts of men and women that no one else can do. What a privileged high calling we have. And it grieves me that sadly so many Christians are sidetracked by the natural, that they fail to achieve their high calling in Christ Jesus. Don't let the devil deceive you. We have this great treasure, this inheritance of being children of God, of being co-heirs with Christ in these earthen vessels. God inhabits us as we allow him and as we enter into this relationship with him. And I want to say this, never allow the temporal or the natural things that are going on around you to swallow up your eternal vision and plan and destiny and purpose. Keep your eye on the spiritual plan that God has for you, because it doesn't matter. You need to let go of all the positive and the negative things that you've experienced in life. Let go of all of it and open your eyes and see Jesus, because he has a high calling that is beyond your wildest dreams. He said that no eye has seen and no ear has heard what God has planned for those who love him. He has great plans for us. And all he says is to you, love me as I have loved you. Just amazing. God wants us to pursue him. And he wants to take us higher and higher before we pass the baton onto the next generation. Andrew and I and the older generation here have a responsibility to have to live fulfilled lives in Christ Jesus, to go higher and higher, so that we have a baton to pass on to the next generation and say, I've had an amazing time, but come on, here's a baton. You keep running and you will do even better. You will go to higher heights and you will seek God in a new way. You can never exhaust God. We can never say we can't put limits or boundaries on him. He can do exceedingly abundantly beyond we can all anything we can think or ask or imagine. He's wilder than your imagination. And some of us, not particularly me, but my husband's got a great wild imagination. God's greater than all of that. Praise God. He never leaves us disappointed. Praise his name. So, it's the greatest inheritance we can ever leave to our children. Everybody wants to leave something great to their children, don't they? They want to leave them the best. Don't leave them just the natural. Leave them the spiritual. Lead them to Jesus. Pray for them. Encourage them. Love them. Witness to them. Share the gospel with them. And see what God does. I just want to see all of us leave a great inheritance, a spiritual inheritance for our children. You know, every natural inheritance disappears the moment we take our last breath. But the spirit doesn't, because at that point we move on to greater things. But let's leave behind us something beautiful, a spiritual inheritance for our children. Amen. Jonathan delighted in David and he was committed to serve him. Nothing or no one was going to break this covenant. Jonathan characterizes the sons of God who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but we are born of God. And let me tell you this, the scripture that dropped into my spirit today when I was preparing this, that everything that is born of God overcomes the world. Amen? So if we're born of God, we're going to overcome the world. We're going to overcome all these natural restrictions, all these natural hurdles, all these natural things that would try and hold us back. God is saying, don't look at those. Look at me. Look at me. I'm going to take you beyond those. You're going to put these things way under your feet and you're going to rise higher. I've jumped somewhere here. Jonathan felt certain he could change Saul's mind about David. And he immediately warned David and he said to David, you need to go to a secret place and stay hidden until I speak to my father and I report back to you. The secret place. Everyone needs a secret place. And do you know where it is? Does anybody know where the secret place is? Under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. Ian, yes, that's your secret place. And Psalm 91 tells us very clearly in verses 1 and 2 that we are to hide under the shadow of the Almighty when life gets tough. And in fact, before life gets tough, learn to run under the wings of the Almighty. You need to learn to go to a secret place. In this secret place, I go and I get my Bible and I just read and read and read. And the Spirit of God speaks to me. A verse jumps out at me. Or a passage I'm reading, I say, God, you're speaking to me. That's just what I needed to hear today. And you go out there and you feel 10 foot tall. Your spirit man has been fed. Your spirit man has grown and become enlarged, and the spirit man takes control of the natural man. And it doesn't matter what's going on around you. You've received something in that secret place that the devil can't steal from you. And we need to do that daily. Get in that secret place. Because if we don't do this, we're going to be easy prey for the devil. Because I promise you, the devil is around constantly. He's at your heels, nipping at your heels. He wants to pick you up. He wants to pick you off. And he wants to swallow you up. Even Jesus climbed the mountain to speak to his Father. If Jesus needed to climb the mountain and go to the secret place, how much more do we need to do that? It's true, it's crucial that we all have a secret place. When I first learned about the secret place, I was going through some stuff and I read in the Amplified Bible, if you want God to work for you, if you want God to fight your battles for you, you've got to do exactly what it says in verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 91. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. And if we get under his wings and hide in God, then God, the devil can't get access to you. Who's he got to fight first? Who's he got to get through first? He's got to get through God first. Hey, impossible, impossible. I know where I'm safe. I know where to run. And when the devil's after me, I'm getting under that, the wings of Jesus. And I'm not going to fight the devil. The only thing I'm going to say to him is, it is written. God says, this is the outcome, this is what's going to happen, and you have no defence against that. I will. And if we will stand on the word of God and resist the devil, he will flee from us. David had poured his life into Saul, but had received nothing but heartache. You know, people are devastated regularly by those who break relationship with them. Families, churches, friends. Many are people that we've invested much time in and much energy into. However, God never is defeated. He always turns our curses into blessings for those who love him. And the whole process for David in this, after pouring life into Saul and being rejected, the whole purpose of that exercise was necessary to bring about this covenant relationship with Jonathan. He would never have got into a wonderful covenant relation with Jonathan had he not been through that hurtful process. So nothing is lost in God's economy. You go through stuff and you think, I don't understand this, God. Why am I going through this? But God says, you'll see it. You'll see it further down the line. Just stay with it. Stay with me. Listen to me. I'll take you right through it. And you'll look back and you'll see that my hand was on you all the time. It was done to bless you and nothing else. So God causes everything to work for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Nothing is lost in God's economy. We've got to see a higher purpose in everything and be prepared to sacrifice ourselves on the altar to see his will be done. Sacrifice. Sometimes it's tough. I remember we used to listen to old GC and he'd say, I've been on this road a long time, I'm in my 80s, and it's still a case of when it comes to sacrifice, you'll have to tie me down, Lord, tie me down, or else I'll get off and go running. And it's the natural instinct. But when God has called us to be a sacrifice, do it. Because God wants to take us to another level. He wants to increase us. And he never does anything like, he never asks you to give something up, but what he will give you something greater in its place. So never be afraid to yield to God. He will give you something even better in the long run. It may seem right now that you're in a process where it seems it's always night and you're thinking, will I ever get through this. But I want to tell you that always after the morning will always come after the night. Promises every day, as in the natural, we get the morning. You will get the morning in your experience. And you will break through if you abide in the secret place under the shadow of the Almighty. God will always make a way of escape. He will not allow us to be tested above what we're able to bear. We just have to let God do what he's going to do and submit. Jonathan went and reasoned with his father on behalf of David, and Saul relented. And Saul said, "As the Lord liveth, I will not slay David." Well, things seemed to return to normal for a while, but like every good intention, it failed. How many of us have failed with our New Year's resolutions and, yes, I'm going to slim this year, I'm going to go to such and such a weight, or yes, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make this a New Year's resolution. I'll guarantee within 2 weeks it's gone crash. And it just doesn't seem to happen, does it, Shirley? Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And it was no different with Saul. Saul, in his own ability, couldn't do it. He could not get rid of this jealousy. It was a spiritual thing, and only God could get rid of that spiritual, that demonic spirit. And as we know, Saul's rage resurfaced again whilst David was playing his harp. Saul threw a dagger at him, a javelin at David, who desperately escaped. But, I believe God was directing that javelin, and it missed David, and David got up and escaped. And at that point, he thought, this is it. This is time to get out and let God, I'll hand over to God, and I'll let God do what he's going to do. If I'm going to be king, then I'll be king, and God will bring me to that place. Saul had lost his relationship with God and was doing everything in his own strength. We've never, never, never abandon your relationship with God, because when you start to do things in your own strength, you will fall flat on your face. Most definitely, human ability is worthless. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Ezekiel 15 talks about the natural vine. The natural vine is the most useless of all the woods, because you can't make anything out of it. You can make out of the oak tree, you can make some beautiful furniture. Out of mahogany, where does that come from? A beautiful tree, and you can make some beautiful dark wood furniture with it. But what can you do with a grapevine? Can't even make a peg to hang your clothes on, can you? It's just useless. And that's what Ezekiel said we are. The natural vine on its own is utterly useless. But let me tell you, John 15 says, I am the vine. God is the vine. Jesus is the vine. God is the gardener. He prunes that vine. Jesus is the spiritual vine. Oh, what a difference. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's indestructible. And that's where we need to be, in that spiritual vine. Because in that spiritual vine, God's saying to us, you're not doing everything in your own strength. When I am in you and you're in me, then you're resting. And I'm working. And that's how it needs to be. When we are abiding in the vine, we're just soaking up all the nutrients from the vine. And we are just producing beautiful fruit. Oh, and it's attractive. It's drawing people to Jesus. And Jesus is doing the work, and we are resting. Abiding. When you're abiding, you don't have to work or stress. It just happens. A tree doesn't stress to produce fruit, does it? It just bears fruit. And that's what we do when we're abiding in the vine. God has delivered us from the power of darkness at the cross. And by resting in him, he empowers us to overcome all the works of the evil one. If you want to be an overcomer, if you want to overcome the devil, you will never do it in your own strength. Abide in the vine and let God Almighty do the work. Quote his word, let God do the work, and he will deliver you. Addictions, habits, fears, inhibitions, stuff that the devil plays on and restricts us with, that we don't find we can overcome in our own strength. I tell you, by entering into a relationship with Jesus, he will deal with all of that, and he will make you into a new creation, and he will break free for you, and you will remain free as you abide in him. You'll have the best life ever. I tell you, I could not recommend anything more, anything better than to get into relationship with Jesus and bear wonderful fruit for him. It seemed clear to David that there was but a step between himself and death. Samuel reassured David that God had a plan for his life and that he could not die until he had finished his purpose. Hey, so with us. God has a plan for your life. And I'll tell you, the devil will not take you out. You will fulfill your destiny. He cannot take you out until you have fulfilled your God-given destiny. So be encouraged. There's always something more to go for. You'll go for one thing and God will open another door and you'll keep going. Let's keep going, fulfilling the destiny God has got for us. And the devil has no say in our lifespan. Praise God. Amen. And also believe for a quality lifespan. No good being crippled or in a wheelchair. Let's go for goals. Let's go for God renewing our strength. God renewing our youth. God restoring the years that the locust has eaten. You know, Psalm 92 says that he keeps me lithe and green, supple in old age. Well, let's go for it. We may not be there yet, but we are going for it. Amen. We're not going to accept what the devil tries to put on us. David stole away to warn Jonathan that there would be no stopping Saul. And Jonathan was now forced to decide between his natural father and his covenant brother. Who was he going to support? There was really no choice. Covenant is deeper and thicker than natural blood. And Jonathan decided he was going to stay in covenant with David and support David until God had placed him in his destiny where he intended him to be as Israel's next king. Covenant isn't always easy. The Christian life isn't always easy. The challenges sometimes, well, every challenge is going to be bigger than you. But it's never bigger than God. There's never a challenge bigger than God. And if we look at it and we think we can't do it, we just need to look again at God. We need to refocus and see how great our God is. And he will never ask you to do something that he has not got the ability to enable you to do. But like with everything, we're doing everything in his strength. We're not doing it, he's doing the work. We're just abiding in relationship with him. Sometimes things God asks us to do carries a high price tag. But Jesus said this when they said to, he said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 48 to 50, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother, my brother, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. This is the covenant family. This is the true family of God. And I love my family. We have a precious covenant family here in Harvest Fields that I treasure. And I thank God that he has chosen us, every one of us he has chosen and appointed to be at this place, at this time, for his purpose. And he has bound us together with his covenant blood. Amen. To work together for his kingdom purpose, here in Intake and beyond, who knows where. To leave a lasting legacy, a kingdom legacy, for those who don't yet know him. Sometimes it will come with a high price tag as God calls us to give him first place and let go of certain relationships, certain plans, certain desires. But Matthew 19:29 says, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Oh, 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 we get the best. We live forever. I've got the best life down here and the greatest future any of us could possibly want. So God's no man's debtor, and he's certainly not your debtor. He will give back to you, pressed down, shaken together and running over, as we put him first and as we become a covenant people who delight in one another and serve one another. And as we serve God, it's easy to serve one another because we love one another with an everlasting love as God loves us. Praise his name. Amen.